All right. Are we ready, Spaghetti?
Oh, we are ready, Spaghetti. Can you hear the grin in my voice?
Oh my God. I'm concerned.
Emanating off of me?
That's concerning. I'm worried.
Welcome to I'd Kill a Spider for You. My name is Catherine.
And I'm Carmen.
And this is our bi-weekly podcast where we talk about whatever we want. And we've been whatever we wanting, like very hard. And right now we're going to very much whatever we want by having an episode where we are going to be pitching each other things that the other has zero interest in. Or at the very least, a low amount of interest in. The way this episode is going to be structured is going to be Carmen is going to be presenting to me something that she thinks I need to, you know, put some interest in and value, and I will be presenting to her. And then I guess at the end we will discuss. Maybe we'll save our final opinions to the very end, and then we'll see if we have convinced each other to give this thing a chance. Now, I know this might seem like this is a conversation between you two. And is it? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
But trust me, this will be very fun because the things we picked, I simply can't wait. Okay.
Oh, God. Okay.
Genuinely, without further ado, let's get this ball rolling. Let's get this party started. Carmen.
Yes.
Please present to me your topic.
So first of all, I would like to state to everybody that this is probably an exercise in futility, but I will do my best to explain. So when Kath and I were discussing this episode, I was like, haha, my taste in men. And then I thought about it. And I said, what about if I pitch the pros of men with line cook energy? Which I think is much better than my taste in men. Because my taste in men, it's not salvageable.
No.
It's men with line cook energy, slightly more salvageable.
It could be. It could be potentially. I mean, Carmen, we know how I feel about this.
How you feel about men. So there's that.
Hey, I'm only mostly gay at this point, I think.
Yeah, but fair. You're also almost completely gay when it comes to white dudes, which is like the majority.
That's so true. Oh my God. I may be technically like bisexual otherwise, but I'm a lesbian. When it comes to white guys, most of the time, unless they're like Henry Cavill, that's true. I've never thought of that, Carmen. Really funny.
It's true. It is 100% true. So, you know, and in my research around line cook energy, although anybody of any race can really have line cook energy,
people
that are like most well known who are famous with line cook energy are the people that are white. So, that's kind of the issue here. So according to Webster's Dictionary, according to Urban Dictionary, someone who has line cook energy is somebody who lives life on the edge. No particular goal, but doesn't have the energy to off themselves. Works really well for me. Unfinished tattoos, chain smoke cigarettes or vapes, and has a terrible attitude. But if you know them, they're one of the best friends to have, and they'll always come through. And then it's, and like the other take is that like they just have terrible, horrible attitude. But
that's so funny. And because I just want to say my Catherine's Urban Dictionary definition of a line cook energy is gross fuckboy with lots of tattoos.
So yes, but also kind of sad, depressed. Life is a bit of a mess. There may be drug addiction in there.
More than a little bit likely.
Yeah. And the reason why it's so popular and the reason it became popular for anybody who doesn't know is because Pete Davidson. All of these people were like,
patron saint.
Yeah, he's the patron saint of line cook energy. And people were like, oh my God, like, how is this like ugly? I don't think he's that ugly, but like, how is this very ugly man getting all these really attractive women? And everybody was like, I don't know what's happening. Is it his charm? First of all, he's funny. Let's start there. He is, like, if you see him in interviews, he has, like, a charm to him, but...
I mean, he's on SNL. He is funny.
He can be funny. And so one of the things that I thought was really funny was that all of a sudden people started showing pictures, because there was a picture of Pete Davidson and Machine Gun Kelly, and it was, I think it was a picture of those two, and then it was a picture of Megan Fox and Kim Kardashian, because they were both, like...
Dating them at the time.
Yeah, dating them at the time. And it was, like, when the servers date the line cooks.
Oh my God, that's exactly what
that's what it is. And for anybody who's ever worked in a kitchen, there is a look to servers, especially if you work in like a restaurant setting. And there's also a look to like servers, and servers are usually far more attractive. And so oftentimes like the women will date the men that they work with, and it'll just be a very interesting mix of things.
Mm-hmm. A very beautiful woman with some man that you're like, did you find him in
a dumpster? And then so I went on Reddit, and so somebody asked, how do I describe line cook vibes to my non-industry friend? And then then there are responses from people that I wanted to read from you, which were someone who thrives in chaos, often lovable scumbags. Emphasis on the lumbag. Of the lovable scumbag. The kind of person you go out drinking with and within one evening find yourself fighting them and hugging them. Nihilistic, but also can be incredibly thoughtful and kind to people. And then somebody said, you are so used to the stress that you miss it when you don't have it. And then somebody said, they'll help you look for the drugs they stole.
Carmen.
It's very funny. And then somebody said, it's like slow dancing in a submarine that's on fire. Somebody else said, has half a lack of cigarettes and Adderall and is on 4 hours of sleep. After work, he's definitely getting drunk and playing RuneScape. He's always a grump, but somehow also always happy. Really strange combo. And so somebody else said, like working with a bunch of weird cartoon pirates from The Secret of Monkey Island and your Guybrush Threepwood pretending to know what you're doing and hoping nobody notices. And then somebody just said, bad decision walking. But the point is that one of the main things... This is a
horrible pitch so far. You're just describing the scumbag.
Listen here. Yes, they may be scummy, but also they have... One, a wealth of one, they can cook for you. That's kind of the main thing. They can cook for you, which is great. As somebody who has dated a line cook. Mm-hmm. Now, Catherine, did you know that the person I'm currently dating, did not know this until recently, was at one point a line cook?
I don't think he has line cook energy, though.
No. I mean, he is getting tattoos, so, you know.
There's that. Actually, but, you know what? I mean, he probably will listen to this, so no offense, but the... You two do look like line cook dating server.
Very fair. Very fair. But listen. Well, it's not as bad as my ex, for anybody who knows what my ex looks like.
That is literally the picture of Machine Gun Kelly and Kim Kardashian. Or Megan Fox, whichever.
Whoever. Interchangeable.
Whomever.
But the idea is that they can cook for you. Mm-hmm. Also, generally, they are very good when you're in a pinch and supporting. Also, that, you know, because they have a weird mixed bag of friends contacts. Really, if you need anything, they can get you anything.
Okay.
And I say that as somebody who has experienced this firsthand, where it's like, would you like DMT? Do you need ayahuasca? And you're like, where are you getting this from? What's happening?
Honestly, we have many times said, if someone put a gun to our head and said, find me cocaine, I'd be like, shoot me now.
Yeah. We're such squares.
We're such squares to the point where it's like a parody of squares. I would have no concept. I'd be like, you should just kill me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to find it.
I maintain that Catherine and I did not know where to get weed until it was legally
available to us. That was genuinely, and I didn't even really ever use any weed until it was legally available to me. We are the squarest of squares. So yes, that is actually maybe, you know what? Hey, maybe one day I would want to do DMT and I wouldn't have to like, I don't even know what I would do. I would just never do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you're in a pinch, they can get you literally anything, which I think mm-hmm. is great. And, you know, the other thing is that they have a lot of friends. And if you're looking for, like, a good time, but not a long time, I think it's a great thing to experience for a little bit because they will cook for you. And, you know, very low maintenance because they're always working. Mm-hmm. And then when they're not working, they make you a meal or they bring you food from the restaurant. You guys can just chill and hang out. And they know all the places to eat, which is great as well, which is one of the things I experienced. These are all
compelling points. Sure.
And the other thing is that, like, they have such charm. I don't think I've met somebody with line cook energy that, like, does not have a certain level of charm to them where you're like, I don't get it, but I'm here for it.
Okay.
And it is nice because the thing is they do often have to compensate for, you know, being weird, scrawny, lanky, tatted, sometimes drug addicts.
Mm-hmm. Like, why? But why did he always? It's so crazy that like the wand chooses the wizard. I don't know. The job finds them. Like, they are themselves. And then they become, they're no option but to become.
Well, Alexa. Yes, because from what I remember, my ex started working as a server in high-end dining. Oh. Or, like, but, like, they started him off with just, like as a busboy, and then he moved his way up. So, for, and, like, once he got into the kitchen, they're like, all you're gonna do is cut bread and serve it.
Okay.
For, like, the longest time. And then he, like, slowly moved up as he started to learn. And I think that's what happens. People are just like, I'm just gonna become a dishwasher or a busboy. And then, like, they slowly either stay there or they, you know, their friends get them another job and then, you know, go from there. I think a great example of this, although I don't think he's a scumbag in any way, shape, or form. I think he's like a grade A dude from what I've seen, would be the king of chefs himself, Matty Matheson.
I knew. I didn't have to say anything, Carmen. I could. I knew who
you can see that coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, Matty Matheson talks about doing a fuck ton of drugs, like getting drunk as shit at the restaurant where he's like as a younger dude, being like doing a fuck ton of cocaine, getting drunk off his ass by like the middle of the morning, drinking some more once he finishes his shift, and like all these different things. Again, had a heart attack at 29. So, like, there's a reason why he's sober now, but. You know, that's something that we talk about. And Catherine, have you ever seen The Bear?
I've never seen The Bear.
Listen, my account, my Disney Plus account will be done in 3 days. I highly recommend
watching some of The Bear.
It's so well done.
I mean, Iowa Debris in it. Maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah. She's amazing, by the way. I
watched Bottoms the other day, by the way.
Oh.
Great.
Okay. So funny. See, I will watch that and you can try The Bear. Okay. It's incredible. And, like, part of why they talk about line cook energy so much now is because of Jeremy Allen White and, like, just the...
Gene Wilder, you mean?
Yeah, Gene Wilder. By the way, I think a very attractive man, but I've liked him since Shameless before the whole cooking thing. So, like, I don't know if that's the thing. But people talk a lot about, like, oh, yeah, because they're, like, kind of broken. They're not well. They have like bunch of shit going on. They scream at and yell at you from like behind.
Oh, no.
Which is like, because in the kitchen, that's like what they're doing.
I guess the environment.
It's just a lot of like, behind, behind. And you
number
know,
one,
you
I say like... behind in my house. My sister was like a waitress for like a very long time or a server for a very long time. So she says behind when she's behind in the kitchen. So now I say that. And sometimes I'll yell at her when she's prepping stuff for me.
What does your sister think of line cook energy then?
I don't know, actually, because she's never, you know what? My sister never really, I think she would like talk about them and the fact that like they're crazy and they all cheat on their girlfriends, but she never said anything necessarily specific. And I don't think certainly never dated any of them that I know, but like, yeah, no, she was a server for a long time and like, I don't know if she has the highest opinion of line cooks, but like we do say behind in my house.
But the thing is, you don't have to be a line cook to have line cook energy. Because like Jeremy Allen White exudes the line cook charm and vibe.
Yes.
Because he's a very good actor, but you know, he's not a line cook. And so I wanted to show you some people that I consider to have line cook energy who have never, probably never once in their lives been line cooks. So you'll recognize this man.
Carmen.
Jay Baruchel, love of my life.
Here's the thing on Jay Baruchel. Like, did I have a crush on him when he was on Popular Mechanics for Kids? Yes. But now I don't know. Why does he maintain a teenage boy energy? Not just line cook energy, but teenage boy energy, and he's like 50 years old. What's up with that?
You know, oh, the thing is, that's part of his charm, is that he's awkward and like lanky.
Get it together at this point.
And like, you know, he's just like really into the Montreal Canadiens. You know, he's mm-hmm. just like, he has a very niche thing going for him.
Okay.
Which I very much appreciate. Okay. Also, he has a new show coming out on Crave, which I don't have, about death and dying, Catherine. Tell me that he is not the perfect man for me.
Carmen, I don't disagree. If you were to get with Jay Baruchel, I'd be nothing but elated for you. That'd be great. Of course.
Again, but like hardcore line cook energy. The other two, I've already mentioned one of them for the line cook energy. No. Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker.
Ew, both of them are so horrendous. Number one, the one on the right looks like a corpse.
The
one on the left is Machine Gun Kelly, right?
Yeah. The blonde one.
And he's slightly better, but the other one, what was his name?
Travis Barker from Blink-182.
Carmen, no, I don't know these things. Like, but No. No,
listen,
is the answer.
It's not for a long time. It's for a good time.
You know, I have been thinking, I'm like, what am I going to do this summer? Maybe this is it. This is what I do this summer.
And the
summer.
Thing is,
I can have a white boy summer, Carmen.
Yeah. The thing is, you don't want to marry them. You don't want to marry them. You can have a white boy summer, but you don't want to marry a Machine Gun Kelly type. And you know why? No. Because Megan Fox married Machine Gun Kelly. And apparently he has cheated. They have broken up several times within their marriage and then keep getting back together. It's a nightmare. It seems toxic. It's not a good mix. So don't do that.
Seems pretty bad.
Absolutely do not do that. And then they got rings where if they try to take them off, it really hurts.
Ew, what?
Yeah, as like a sign of their devotion to each other.
What if they eat too much salt?
And they wear each other's blood. They have like each other's blood in their rings. There's some shit. Again, that's what happens when you marry a line cook. You don't want to marry a line cook.
I'm sorry. If I chose to marry a vampire, maybe I'd expect this, but not a line cook.
Yeah, like, it's like, what are you getting? You're not getting a castle out of this. You're getting...
No, there's no castle. There's no immortality.
No,
there's
you're getting
attached.
Some well-cooked meals, but that's
about
it. It's
just some dirty crap that's... Ew, no.
No.
I don't want your scabby blood. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not... It's not great.
Oh my god, it's like that thing, you know that thing where people make jewelry out of semen?
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
Like, if that ever was presented to me.
Horrible.
I'd just throw the whole person away.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Nah, from your dog.
So the other person would be the granddaddy of line cook energy, which of course is Pete Davidson.
His tattoos suck so bad.
Yeah, but he's made that clear. That's the thing. Line cooks aren't getting these like ornate, beautiful tattoos the time.
But, like, why? Why does he look like a middle schooler's notebook? Like, he looks so bad. He looks horrible. He looks like he says rar. Like, that's what he looks like.
Yes. Bad. To be honest, I feel like a lot of the like hardcore emo guys.
Yeah.
Didn't make it in their like garage bands did move on to cooking once they stopped being roadies or whatever the fuck else they were doing.
I mean, these are the jobs for the transients of the world at this stage in society. Because the thing is, with cooks, you can like get, if you have any sort of talent for cooking, you can like get into a job
in a
kitchen. So like there's all kinds of people who work in kitchens, you know, with all 100%. Kinds of pets. And that makes sense why sometimes
and they're not looking for like
of them are scummy weirdos
and like nobody's looking for you to have like a clean like criminal
clean record
check.
It's like, are you
working a fucking
are
kitchen?
Your hands clean? That's it.
That's
what that's
literally on. And sometimes not even that, depending on the restaurant, like truly just wild.
Hopefully not.
And so the other person I'm gonna pick is a newfound person that I have noticed.
Okay.
Because I am unfortunately surrounded by people who belong to the cult of football.
Le football.
I sometimes end up watching games. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, unless people are attractive, I'm not interested. I don't care. One to, you know, what's the point?
I know you.
And then I was recently told of this older man who is the head coach for Roma, named Daniele De Rossi, okay, who is apparently a hardcore, like, huge superstar for Italian football. I have no idea who this person is. Never heard of him before in my life.
Carmen, if you don't know, why would I?
But again, he has, like, line cook vibes of an older man who made it through.
Oh, okay. Okay. Does he have spacers?
No.
He looks like he should. He looks like he almost has cauliflower ear. He looks like Gerard Butler.
Oh, you know what? Like a tatted up Gerard Butler with a very nice beard.
Is that a nice beard?
I think so. I think he's very handsome for an older Italian football player.
He's not that. No, truly he isn't. I'm not.
Again.
He's fine. He's totally fine.
I'm telling you, these men, like if you could just, you know, date
open
them.
Open my mind, my heart.
Open your mind. Not your heart, though. Don't do that. Don't do.
Okay. Don't. Open my legs. Open my mind. Open my legs to this opportunity. Okay,
listen, okay. I made the mistake of dating a line cook. And what did that get me? Somebody on a fuck ton of drugs who had financial issues, among other things. Did he cook very well? He sure did. Once he made me whip butter, it was great.
I mean, to Carmen, take home. I don't know if I'm going to keep this in the podcast, but I did sleep with a man who had line cook energy, and it was terrible. And he's the one with that fucked up bathroom that I was what's happening here?
That is fair.
So I have had one foray.
You gotta just, you know, you gotta find the, like, and you gotta find those gems, though. You gotta find those gems. You gotta find the gems.
It was a no thank you, I'm gonna say. Honestly.
Listen, you just gotta find the gems. You gotta find the gems that have, like, weird cook stories that you can listen to, or, like, they can tell you really interesting things about, like, this celebrity came in and I cook for them, or, like, I met so-and-so. That's pretty cool, because, like, if I think about one of my friends whose family owns a restaurant, because of him, I'm not going to say who it is, but because of him, I now know that there were a lot of cokeheads on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know what? I assume at this point in my life that there are a lot of cokeheads everywhere.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, we would never have assumed anything like this ever.
No.
But now I'm just like, whenever I hear that, I'm like, okay. Like, I'm like, anytime I hear, like, oh, and they're all on heroin, I'm like, sure. Sure. Who knows what people do? We live very sober lives.
Yeah, literally. I was like, listen, I am on metformin. I tried drinking recently, and I felt sick for, like, a whole 24 hours, and I didn't even drink that much, so I know it wasn't a hangover.
Yeah, no. I have been doing edibles this year, so maybe I have line cook energy. You know. Or last year, rather. I stopped that last year.
Oh, God. And so one person that I love is a member of Alexis on Fire, because a lot of people are, so I would say line cook energy can
and
sometimes,
band energy.
And band energy, interchangeable. That's why Maddie Matheson was a roadie, went to culinary school, then said fuck it right before he graduated, became a roadie for, like, a metal band.
And then went back to cooking.
Then went back to cooking.
But Carmen, this overlap, this is, okay, so you know where it's like a three-part
Venn diagram?
One is line cook energy. One is roadie energy.
Yeah.
And the other is STDs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a perfect circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
It's a perfect circle. You know, you're not wrong. That is very fair. So Wade McNeil from Alexis on Fire is my personal favorite. I think he has the most line cook energy. BFFs with none other than Maddie Matheson, might I add. Okay. So this is him.
You know, I don't mind that. I actually like a bigger boy, shall we say. I like a man who's, like, has a more sturdiness to him. So if there are the thicker of the line cook energy men, I'm actually much more interested in that. I don't like skinny men of any race or background.
That's very fair. And so that's where you have to find a cook that's, like, a little bit,
you know what? Because, like,
a little bit less skinny, but, like, still has the tattoos and the spacers.
I don't want to feel like I could like do, like, a javelin toss. Like, I don't want to feel like this is best.
That is unfortunately 50%, I would say, of line cooks. And then the last one, I've shown you him before in our pop punk emo episode, but Travie McCoy.
What? Who is that?
He is the lead singer of Gym Class Heroes.
I showed pictures of him before.
Yeah.
He looks horrible there.
As he's gotten older, he has gotten... I apologize. I don't want to body shame. He has gotten more and more atrocious looking. He does not look like he washes anymore.
No.
Like, I wanted to show you a picture of him now, but I was like, no, this is a pitch. This is not...
By the way, you need to compile these photos and put them... We're going to have thing of your photos and one thing of mine. Well, we have to compile these so people can see what I'm puking about.
But yeah, because like, I look at this man yikes. Now, and I'm like, what
like, did you see?
What happened? Like, he looks what like... Have you seen Lil Wayne recently?
No, Carmen. I have not seen Lil Wayne recently, but...
I'll
take your word for it. Has he gotten really, like, skinny?
He just looks like
unwell skinny?
Unwell. Maybe not. He doesn't look skinny. Just unwell.
All right.
Just very, very unwell. Whereas I feel like Travie McCoy just looks...
No.
Just, yeah. That's not super recent. Those, November 2023.
It looks like those locks haven't... Like, he doesn't wash his locks.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying when I... He looks unkempt, but the point is...
He looks greasy with, like, several Zeds.
Zeds, yes. So, not that Travie McCoy, but, like, Gym Class Heroes dating Katy Perry, Travie McCoy. Again, Katy Perry dating Travie McCoy is a great example of the server line cook energy vibe.
This is a phenomenon. That's amazing that you can point out and pick out so many, and you're like, oh, there it is.
Maddie Matheson's wife.
The platonic ideal of it is so clear.
Like, Maddie Matheson's wife is, like, this, like, very beautiful, very, like, she's just, like, looks like a very, I know she probably isn't, but she's married to Maddie Matheson, but this, like, very demure looking, very, like, normal, average, like, very beautiful, like, lady who's had, like, three kids with him. And then he's just this guy with a long-ass rat tail and, like, too many tattoos. And he's always like, yeah, my tattoos are really stupid. I've gotten some really fucked up tattoos. And I'm just like, you know what? Bless you.
Bless your heart.
But the thing is, she then married somebody with line cook energy. But granted, she met him before he became said line cook. They've been together since they were like teenagers. Mm-hmm. And you know, now he owns several restaurants and is one of the showrunners essentially for The Bear, because he's the main like consultant for The Bear and also I think a producer for the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's like living the life, taking care of the kids, doing all that jazz. Has her own farm now. They have their own farm.
You know? Well, ain't that nice?
So like things could go well if you do end up with a line cook. You know, you just have to find the right one. But the problem is you're going to have to go through a lot of trauma to get there.
The difference between Maddie Matheson and like all of these other guys is immense.
Yes, that is true. But she did have to live through his addiction problem.
I mean,
Heart attack at 29.
Which is wild.
Yeah. So, you know, yes, very true. But also, what I think is funny is that like, people can make jokes about Pete Davidson all the time. I get the allure. I understand why women fall for him. There's also the fact that, like, with line cook energy, it's not just about the cooking. It's not just about the getting you things. It's not just about, like, it's also just the fact that these are people who are, like, living on the edge to a certain extent sometimes. And it can sometimes be fun to date somebody who's, like, wildly out of, like, your scope of what you do in life. Whereas you're just like, I would never make this decision myself. But you seem to be making all of these types of ridiculous decisions that I would never do for myself, for yourself. And I would like to see how this plays out for you.
So it's a curiosity?
Yes.
Okay.
Curiosity, entertainment. You get to like ask so many questions. You know, you get to really hear all right. things.
You know what? I'm going to save my verdict for the end. But okay, thank you, Carmen.
Plus, might I just say, additional points if they're not white. Like
maybe, or maybe they're worse.
Maybe I never thought about that. Maybe.
Maybe it's worse.
Because, like, there's a lot
Then maybe it's... Because if they're non-white, then maybe it's more of, like, a rebellion kind of thing. And then it becomes a whole other...
Yeah.
And then what if you meet... Like, if I ever found myself dating, like, let's say a black guy who let his white friends say the N-word.
No, you would leave him immediately.
Immediately. But if I ever even found myself in that situation, and that's what I would fear... From the racialized man in the Lion Cook energy. I'd fear it. Just because, as we've said many times, the word scumbag gets thrown around a lot. And so. So you know what? I'm going to save my verdict for the end, okay? But thank you so much for this beautiful presentation. I really appreciate it.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. Okay. Carmen.
I'm so worried. Yeah, go for it. Mm-hmm.
Dear listeners, you know that in the fall of 2023, I embarked on a journey.
Catherine.
To find the One Piece.
Oh, God. No.
I embarked on a journey, on a cruise, shall we say, to go across the sea with my best friends, the Straw Hat Pirates.
Oh, God.
On their journeys through the Grand Line, okay? I have watched all of One Piece, and I have not read all of it, but I have started to read the manga as well. My mother, who I ended up watching this show with, is currently in a rewatch, and I don't know how, but she's on episode 400. Anyway. One Piece is genuinely, Carmen, one of my favorite animes of all time. It's like top three for sure.
Okay.
It is one of the best stories that I've ever engaged with.
Sure.
It is one of the most wonderful experiences I have had, the ups, the downs, and I want this for you too. Carmen, I know, without question, you would fucking love
I know this.
One Piece. Okay, and so,
Can we give the audience the story about my student?
Oh my God, yes, we can.
Okay.
So
go briefly, ahead. I am teaching a class...
By the way, this may contain the mildest spoilers for One Piece, but we're going to try not to spoil anything too deeply. If you are interested in watching One Piece, this will have only the barest information, so you can't actually say who it is was mentioned in that art your story, but please go ahead.
Yes. So essentially, I teach a class on death and dying at a university in Toronto, and one of the assignments was like a discussion board type of thing where people had to post... something around death and dying, a piece of media that reminded them or like made them really think about death and dying in a different way. And, you know, we got the usuals. We got the My Girl. We got the Lion Kings. We got the, you know, that type of stuff. Land Before Time?
Yeah.
Yes. Land Before Time? No, because they're all babies.
Oh, they're babies.
They're babies. Yes. And... you know, I'm scrolling through, reading everybody, all the students' participation things, and I pass by one, and it says, One Piece, when so-and-so died. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I'm spoilers. Reading it, and this person clearly loves One Piece, which I I was like, Catherine, this also is a black person.
Oh, see? Listen, black people love anime. I'll stand on that hill.
Yeah, possibly a black femme, so, you know. There we go. Who essentially like went in on like this the gravity of the death and why it was so important and why it needs to like be explored and blah blah blah. More so than like other people sometimes just wrote like, I think this song is really beautiful and it makes me think of whatever. Whereas other people, like this person wrote like a whole thing. Which I think is great, by the way. I loved it. And so, you know.
You can understand how passionate.
Yeah. And then I sent it to Catherine, and Catherine was like, fail this person immediately. Why are they spoiling things for
I
you?
I was truly like, how dare they? You should fail them. You should say, fuck you. You should write spoilers? I'm giving 0%.
But yeah, and when I heard about what happened, and then Catherine explained the in context a little bit more, I was like, are you trying to traumatize me?
Only a little.
That is only traumatic.
A bare tiny little cutesy poo amount of trauma. But trauma is actually a big part of One Piece. Carmen, okay. All right. Okay. Let's go. So, I have sent you something I need you to open. Listen.
Oh, God.
Carmen, you're my best friend.
One Piece hotties.
Don't even look at it yet. Don't look at the pictures yet.
Okay. Okay.
Carmen, you're my best friend, right?
Uh-huh.
I know you very well.
Uh-huh.
If there's anything I know that could entice you to watch something new.
Hotties.
It's hot boys.
Yeah,
it's
hotties. Yeah.
It's hotties. And I specifically picked ones that I, A, think are hot, but B, that I know you will think are hot. So now you can start scrolling.
Okay.
The very first, we'll go one by one, but there's a few pictures for this
one. Oh, he has a piercing.
This first character, his name is Trafalgar Law. And speaking of Line Cook energy, you can scroll until, like, I think page 5. Look at him. He is covered in tattoos.
He is Line Cook energy.
Sorry. His hands.
Why is he wearing, like, a Rasta hat?
The hat. I knew you were going to comment that, Carmen. In my head, I was like, I have to include pictures without the hat because she's going to say something about that hat.
Yeah.
The hat is a choice. There's also, like, he's had, like, a similar kind of hat since he was a child and he went through a lot of trauma, but whatever. Uh-huh. The hat's the hat. But.
Okay.
You can scroll till, page 5.
Oh, yeah.
I have 5 pages of images of Trafalgar Law for her to look at. Carmen?
He has a look. I like the look.
He has a look. He has lots of tattoos. His hands, both, they say
dark death. Hair.
Dark hair.
Yeah.
He is a doctor as well as a pirate.
Oh.
Okay. He is the most traumatized boy. His backstory, I'm not going to go into everything, but it's so sad on every level. It's like everything in the world was taken from him. He got a little bit of love back and it was taken from him again.
Hell
His
no.
backstory is devastating. It's really quite good. He is also a character who is an ally of Luffy's, so he forms a pirate alliance with Luffy.
That's so nice.
So you get to see him. So basically, he is in the story. He enters the story like around like episode 400-ish, but like in episode, it's so funny to talk about One Piece. One Piece, for those who don't know, why I have to do this whole thing is because One Piece is over 1,000 episodes. It's 1,100 actually, so it takes some convincing. But around episode, like from episode like 600-ish to episode like 1,000, he's like in the show the whole time.
Oh my God.
Anyway, Trafalgar Law, I know that you would love him. And by the way, he has, instead of a pirate ship, he has a submarine. His crew, he has, one of the characters on his crew is like a mink, who are these people who are basically like animal people. So his first mate and best friend is a polar bear man.
Oh, cute.
You would love him. 100%. He like has a whole like revenge plot. He's so angsty.
He kind of, maybe it's the facial hair, but he's giving me Kanan vibes from Star Wars Rebels.
I don't know that guy.
He also has a goatee.
Oh, okay.
And is also traumatized. Deeply and traumatized.
Deeply traumatized.
Okay. I do have a question with please. This pitch. Mm-hmm. Does he die?
No.
Well, then we're fine.
Well, then we're fine. Now, speaking of.
Oh, no.
The next character, you can go to page 5.
Uh-huh.
His name is Ace.
Oh, he's cute. He also has tattoos, which I guess makes sense.
He also has tattoos. So he has tattoo on his arm. He has tattoo on his back. That's for the crew that he's on.
Very cute.
You can scroll a little bit more. He's like, he has a flame fruit. So basically he's a man made of fire. He's super strong. Like, when you first meet him, one of the first things he does is, like, one punch and destroy, like, 5 pirate ships. Like, he's super strong, super powerful, very, very cool. He's also a character who you, like, see throughout the story.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say this next thing, because then you'll know exactly what I'm saying, but he is the main character's brother.
Oh, no. 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 No.
But he is wonderful, and you'll love him so deeply.
Isn't he also very suicidal?
He is so okay. This character's backstory is also, again, I can't tell you anything because I want you to find out when you actually watch it, but this man is suicidal from jump. He is like, we have flashbacks from when he's a kid and he's like, should I even be alive? And everyone's like, well, I
feel you.
You'll have to find out. And he is suicidal the whole time. And then, but he's also like a very cheerful, fun, happy character, but then you just find out that he is like inside
dying.
So sad.
Yeah, that's I mean, that is my kind of guy.
That is down the middle your kind of guy.
That is, 100%.
Yeah. Okay, now we can scroll to the next character. Roronoa Zoro. Carmen.
I do love him.
So Carmen has watched the live action, so we're already halfway there, guys. But you can see, Zoro is a very cool character. Zoro
love
is...
him.
So he is Luffy's first mate. Yeah. Zoro's trauma, you've actually seen a little bit, just because he like had his friend die when he was a kid. But other than that, you don't even have to worry about any trauma. He is just... Zoro is an alcoholic, and he is a sword fighter. He takes a lot of naps, and he...
We would be such good friends.
You would be such good friends. You and Zoro would sit on the couch and just like...
Nap. Nap
and talk. Like, Zoro wouldn't... He wouldn't talk. He would listen. But he's a very, you know... loyal character.
We could get lost together.
You could get you know the means. Zoro gets lost every single place he goes.
Yeah.
But Zoro is 100, and Zoro's in the show the whole time, so you will never, except for one arc, have any arcs where you're not gonna have this particular hot boy not by your side, and not by Luffy's side. Okay.
I do enjoy him.
Very much so. He has green hair. He has three earrings.
Yeah. It also helps that the actor who plays him is, like...
in the live action?
Drop dead
gorgeous.
Beautiful. Like,
he's
very distracting.
Too beautiful. If you look at these pictures of Zoro, you can see that Zoro's, like, super hot. But I don't think Zoro's supposed to be beautiful.
No.
But this guy is... the guy who plays him in live action is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And you get to look forward to so much great Zoro. Now... the final character I'm going to show you in the hot boy list is
a
character named...
What the fuck is this?
King.
I could see Jason Momoa playing him.
Truly. There's like two
pages
of him.
Does he have a face tattoo?
He does have a face tattoo. The only one on this list who doesn't have a tattoo is Zoro, but Zoro has multiple scars, so he has that instead. But Carmen, I picked boys with tattoos. This
you know
is
me
King.
Well.
King is also, like, 12 feet tall. He's, like, enormous.
Okay.
He has, like, wings that are made of flame. He is super cool. He has devil fruit that turns him into a dinosaur. Like, he's great. And
what?
I mean, a pterodactyl is actually the funniest thing.
My nightmare, but okay. That's very cool.
King is he's a villain character, so you get to see actually an amazing fight in episode, like, 1000-something with Zoro and King. It's pretty great. It's actually really, really good. It's a really amazingly animated fight. Definitely something to look forward to. But King is also a hot boy who, once you see... when I saw him, and my sister and I saw him, we were like, what? Who is this? Why is he so hot? Why is he so beautiful? And he's also super loyal to his, you know, his captain, who is also a villain. But he's a great character.
I mean, all of these men are very attractive.
Right?
I would watch. I feel like this is a show where I'm, like, anticipating very sad things happening, because even watching the live action, it was only, what was it, 8 episodes? 10 episodes? 8 episodes?
8 episodes, yeah.
Even then, I was like, something is amiss here.
Like, something sad in the...
Yeah,
in the soup.
Yeah, I was like, something's coming. So definitely something I would watch. Thank you for warning me.
Oh, I'm not done. We're not done here.
No. But, like, thank you for warning me about certain traumas. Because I tend to find that, for example, Star Wars Rebels. I personally loved Star Wars Rebels. I think it's, like, my favorite Star Wars thing that's
show.
Come out.
Yeah.
And when Kanan Jarrus dies... I immediately messaged my friend who recommended that I watch it. And I was like, how dare you? How dare you do this to me? And he was like, well, how was I supposed to know? And I was like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I at least am emotionally prepared.
You'll be prepared. Or will you? Truly, Carmen, there are certain things that
Did you cry?
About.
Did you cry?
Absolutely. I cry all the time. One Piece? Carmen? Here's the thing. I love to cry. I know you don't mind crying, but it's maybe not your favorite.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
I love a cry. Carmen, I cry all the time. One Piece will make you cry. That is something I can say. I can promise you that.
So when you were watching with your family, everybody was crying?
Yes. And, okay, so this actually leads into the next point. So this is not hottie related, but in some ways it is. Because the female characters in One Piece are incredibly well-written characters.
Yes.
So this is also very important, especially for, like, shonen, like, boy anime. Most of those characters, female characters, will be written, and you're like, what?
What is this? Yeah.
Now, not to say there's no fan service in One Piece. There absolutely is. And some of the character designs of the female characters leave to things to be desires. Everybody has a J cup. I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's got,
it's like titties. It's titty town.
Yeah.
However, there's a character that you will meet named Robin.
Okay.
Who you would absolutely love. She is a, like, an archaeologist. She's super smart. She also has the saddest backstory in the world.
Yeah.
But, like, she's incredibly well written, and she, and, like, you very rarely have arcs where a female character and her trauma are the center of a story in, like, shonen. That happens all the time in One Piece. It happens with Robin. It happens with Nami. It happens with multiple other female characters. Luffy will, like, basically, like, meet different people and when he goes places and, like, save their whole lives, and often their times they're women, and they're always given, like, full agency. They're always given full character. They're always complex. Sometimes their designs can be wild. If anyone in this who's listening to this has watched One Piece, I'm looking at you, Rebecca from Dressrosa. That shit was insane. Why does she look like that? But
I kind of want to look her up. What's her name? Rebecca?
Rebecca from One Piece. She has pink hair, and she is dressed crazy.
And she's, oh god. And this wasn't the lady that was at the beginning of the show, right? The pirate?
No.
Oh god. Okay. Oh my god. What is that?
She looks more naked than if she was naked.
Yeah.
It's crazy, her outfit. Her outfit's like a bikini, but not even. A bikini would have been better. I don't even know what it is.
Kind of like Princess Leia.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But worse.
But worse. It's the point is that she's like a gladiator in an arena, and so stupid fanboys will be like, well, she's dressed like that because historically, I'm like, this is not a history. This is One Piece. Get the fuck out of my face. anyway, so there's that beautifully written and drawn, character-wise drawn female characters. Now, Carmen, if I told you that there are multiple queer and trans characters in One Piece, would you be surprised?
I guess not. It is Japanese, so I mean, like, I guess not. But, like, maybe, because that's
surprising. For shonen anime, think about, like, Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, any of those things.
Yeah, no.
There,
like,
a wealth of queer and trans characters?
No, just a wealth of weird, creepy characters, but...
Of weird creeps. Oh, actually, if you go back to the hotties list, if you go past King, there's one character who I was able to add. I missed adding more, because I ran out of time. But you will see a character, and his name is Bon Clay.
That is my nightmare, Gather.
He is truly an absurd character. He starts as a villain. His outfit is insane. For those who don't know what Bon Clay looks like, he has, like, two swans coming out of his
He, like, looks like Bjork.
Collar of his cape.
Looks like Bjork and Medieval Jester had a baby.
He's yes, very much so. He's got ballet slippers on. But if you scroll down one more page, you'll see another image.
Him and Luffy?
Him and Luffy. Because Bon Clay is Luffy's friend, and Luffy loves Bon Clay.
Aww.
The queer and, like, trans character. So Bon Clay is, like, not queer. It's, like, genderqueer, non-binary-ish. They, like, say, like, oh, whether I'm a man or a woman, something, something. Bon Clay is very much a queer character, and Luffy loves him, and Luffy loves all of the queer characters. There's another character named Imperio Ivankov, whose design is also wild because he's based off of Rocky Horror Picture Show, but Imperio Ivankov is a character who goes by both he and she, and Carmen. So you know the concept of devil fruits. For those who don't know, they're basically magical powers that you get when you eat a certain kind of fruit in One Piece. Imperio Ivankov's devil fruit power is hormones.
Oh.
He ate the hormone fruit and can literally, so can do all the things that you can do with hormones, including, like, healing people and, like, whatever, but can also, they straight up trans people. I'm not even joking. Imperial Ivankov, their nails turn into injection needles and can just inject somebody and change their gender.
Love it.
And love it. They do it one time as like an attack, like someone attacks them basically being like, you made my father gay or some shit. Right. Like, and sure. So turns this man into a woman and it's like a punishment. But then there's another part where Imperial Ivankov is able to pick out a random character and inject them with female hormones, turn them into a woman. And this character's like, oh my God, I'm so happy. Like, aww, this is what I truly wanted. As if Imperial Ivankov is able to just magically pick out the trans people and yeah, be like, and you.
I love so that. So Eva-chan,
how they go by, Eva-chan basically is called the queen of the queers in love the
it.
Show.
Love it.
And
love it.
Has a whole island that is the Kamabaka Kingdom that is like an island of queer people.
Beautiful. Now,
some of the character designs are wild.
Yeah.
They're truly wild.
I can imagine.
But also, this whole part that I'm describing was written in like the early mid 2000s.
Oh.
So everything I'm describing is like early mid 2000s. So yes, some of the character designs are like weird and there are some characters that you're like, this feels like a very tasteless joke. But the actual content of the characters yeah, is incredibly positive. And then later in like episode like 800, you meet this other character who's a trans woman character whose design is way more like modern in that like she just looks like a woman but is like super tall, named Kiku. Basically almost is like an apology for some of the other character designs from before. But like there are trans characters all throughout One Piece, way more trans characters than there are openly gay characters, probably because One Piece does not deal with sexuality at all, really. Like nobody's dating anybody in One Piece.
Yeah.
So that's another bonus. You wouldn't actually have to deal with any dumb love triangles because it doesn't happen like in One Piece. And actually, the best example of queerness in One Piece is the main character, Luffy, because Luffy is straight up asexual.
Oh, yeah. And maybe has a touch of the...
of the tism?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear this, Carmen? So there's a couple moments in the early One Piece when Luffy sees, like, Nami naked and, like, reacts like, ooh!
Yeah.
Whatever. And then later there's a character who is the most beautiful woman in the world, and her power basically is, if you think she's attractive, then she can turn you into stone.
Oh, right? No. Okay.
So he sees her naked in the bath.
Yeah.
And shoots him with her beam to turn into stone. Yeah. He's like, I don't even... nice big wet titties, but like...
really?
Whatever.
Yeah.
And the author... someone asked the author, why does Luffy react before but not in this scenario? And he literally said that Luffy was just copying other people's reactions for fun. He's masking. For fun when he's in a group, but when he's on his own and he sees a naked woman, this is how he actually reacts.
The tism...
and the asexuality.
Yeah.
All wrapped into one explanation where I feel like the author had no idea what he was saying. But
yeah.
it does remain that there's lots of queerness in One Piece.
I appreciate that. I do.
Okay. Now, the other aspect of One Piece that I think you will absolutely adore is that everywhere Luffy goes, he is bringing down oppressive governments.
Uh-huh.
He is supporting revolutions. Mm-hmm. There's literally whole arcs where like the conflict that Luffy wants to solve is like food scarcity. Like he goes to a place where like they have poisoned, the factories have poisoned the water and the air, and then they've also made all of the food only available to the rich.
Right.
And he's like, I'm gonna tear this fucking whole place down so my friends can eat as much as they want. Because Luffy's like very simple. The problem is this little girl that he meets has no food. And he's like, okay, I'll take down the whole government.
Yeah.
Luffy goes to a place where like they have restricted all of the doctors. So there's only one doctor in the whole kingdom and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm going to go beat the shit out of this king. Like Luffy goes to a place where they're oppressing people basically with slavery. And he's like, I'm going to punch the slave owner in the fucking face. Luffy, at every single point, is fighting revolutions, is anti-slavery. There's a whole arc set in a prison, and they basically make the prison like they're Nazis. Like, they're straight up dressed like Nazis.
Oh.
And fun fact about this prison, that's where you meet the character Ivankov. And Ivankov has made... so basically the prison is like 5 levels or 6 levels of like different kinds of torture, depending on like how... what
fantastic.
You've done.
Uh-huh.
Ivankov has made his own level... level 5.5, and has taken all of the queer and trans characters from like different places in the prison, and they're all basically in a gay bar having fun.
Love it.
Wonderful. But like
it's like Paddington 2 all over again.
It's straight up, it's very Paddington 2, 100%. They're even wearing the stripy outfits.
Amazing.
So you get to go on this amazing odyssey with Luffy, beating the shit out of oppressive people and fighting racism and classism and every single bad thing in the world. And Carmen, you would laugh so hard the way they draw rich people.
Oh, I'm sure it's amazing.
It is comical. They are true monsters. Like, to be clear, Luffy does have friends who are rich, but when they're rich and kind, they're good looking. And when they're not, it's like, they're like monstrous. It's so
like Jabba the Hutt.
Straight up. One, some of them look like Jabba the Hutt. There's one, let me see if I can find that. There's a picture of like a little girl. Oh my God. So this, let me see. Oh no, I'm not gonna be able to find it because it's so specific. But there's a little rich girl in One Piece.
Uh-huh.
And she's basically talking to her father about like, why do the poor people deserve to be burned alive? Because that's what they're doing.
Oh, God.
And then his dad's like, well, because they were poor, they're born poor. And their little girl's like, oh, that's great. And they're drawn like demons.
That's really funny.
Like, he's like Oda, Eiichiro Oda, who's the author of One Piece, the mangaka, is like, truly fuck these people.
Yeah. I mean, his stance on rich people is...
it's... so good.
I appreciate this.
You would get the opportunity to go on the best journey with the characters who continue to grow and change, and characters who you get to see, like, they get to have glow ups, they get to have development, they get to like do all these amazing things. You can see a million amazing different islands. It is the adventure of adventures plus punching slave owners in the face.
Here's my question, though.
Yes.
Because the series hasn't ended.
It has not.
What happens if it ends terribly?
I don't think it will. That's another amazing... thank you for reminding me of one more beautiful point. Carmen, the writing in One Piece is incredible. And it only gets better. Like, you liked the early stuff that you watched with live action.
Yeah.
Like, after that, it continues to get better. Like, One Piece... and here's the thing. I remember being like, I can't believe I watched so much One Piece in such a short period of time. And then I was like on episode 700 and they introduced this character and his backstory was so incredible and made me cry. And I was like, this show never fucking stops being incredible. It only, Carmen, the stuff that's happening right now in One Piece is some of the fucking best shit ever. And that's not to say the stuff was bad before. It was amazing before. And it's still amazing now.
Right.
You get to have 1,000 episodes that are all fucking, they slap. It's great.
Right.
Now, okay, I will give you the one caveat with One Piece, that because it's so long, there are times where pacing issues arise.
Sure.
Where they take a little while. But you have watched Star Wars, Clone Wars, and nothing's as bad as that.
No, there is not.
So, do you have any questions for me?
No, I think that was my main question, was like, what if there's no payoff? Because at least with Clone Wars, god-awful, terrible. Season 7, great. Was it worth the 3.5 seasons at the beginning that were, like, horrendous? No. But by season 7, they fixed their shit. And so I always worry
about that.
I just always worry, because what if it's like, what if the One Piece is friendship, Catherine?
Here's the thing. Carmen likes to say this to antagonize me. It's not going to be friendship. Based off of the story that we have, like, has been outlined so far, it doesn't even make sense for it to be friendship. We don't know what the... so, yes. What's the One Piece? We don't know. But we have been building towards an idea that, like, it probably is something... so, oh, God, I can't say anything without saying spoilers. But, like, let's just say...
so you think it's, like, a real physical thing?
I think it may be a physical thing. It may be an idea in some way, but I think there's a real... I think the author has said it's a real physical thing. It may be, like, something that... here's the thing. One Piece is very concerned with the history of the world, so this is not a spoiler necessarily. Kind of, but not really. Basically, in the world of One Piece, 800 years ago, something happened, and we don't know what. And that the history of, like, whatever happened 800 years ago is directly affecting what's happening now, right?
Okay.
So there is, like, a bunch of historical stuff that will be like that, like is involved with what One Piece probably is. Okay. So it does feel like there's a through line throughout the whole story where it's going to end up being something real and tangible.
Okay.
That they're trying to discover right now. And literally, I don't even know what it is, but I don't want to say any more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but the
yeah,
idea
yeah.
is that like the One Piece is connected to like something
okay.
specific that we're learning about right now.
Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. Okay. He wants
to be the king of the pirates, and he is
That's
going to
That's very fair. My little Mexican man can do what he wants.
He can do what he wants.
Even though technically he's supposed to be Brazilian. But to me, he's Mexican. And
honestly, Carmen, the second they cast a Mexican actor, I'm sure all of Mexico is like, yep, Luffy's Mexican, and he never will be anything else.
No. Hell no. And his name is Iñaki, which I think is really cute. But anyway, So, I guess, like, ultimately, Catherine, mm-hmm. we need to ask each other.
Yes.
Catherine, will you attempt to have an open mind?
Yes.
About Lion Cook energy people?
Okay, here's what I'll say. In terms of my viewing on the internet, if I see people being like, oh, this guy, blah, 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 and I'm like watching a bunch of people thirst after like Jeremy Allen White, I will. I will try my best to see the benefits. Because I actually think Jeremy Allen White himself is okay looking. I did like him in Shameless. But like, I remember when he had that Calvin Klein thing and everyone was like, oh my God. I was just like, I don't know. This isn't for me.
You must watch The Bear to get the vibe.
Here's the thing. I can very much understand a boy who I do not find attractive becoming more attractive when I see the vibe.
Uh-huh.
Like, I am not a Timothée Chalamet girly.
No.
Shall we say. He looks like a small
child
boy. But when I watched Little Women, I thought, you know, he is charming.
So,
here's the thing. I will endeavor to engage in the material that the Line Cook energy of the moment is in, and then I will be a bit more generous in my opinion.
Okay.
Shall we say? I still might land on a no from me. And then in terms of my real personal life, if I have a Line Cook energy opportunity come up in the summertime, not in the winter, I would never do this in the winter.
But if in the summertime,
a Line Cook energy man comes into my life.
Yeah.
I'll give it a weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. For me, I think when I have the emotional capacity to deal with trauma, I will watch One Piece. I did watch the first like two or three episodes that they have on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I know they're adding more episodes on
Netflix.
They
have like 800 of them on right now.
Yeah. So like definitely something I can do, especially now that I'm getting rid of Disney Plus. So it's definitely something I want to try because I do know that I would enjoy it. I just feel like one, because it's, you know, subtitled, I do have to like pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to have a little bit more energy invested than I usually do.
Yes.
But that's okay. I'm very okay with that. And then the other thing is that I do not currently have the capacity to deal with trauma.
Here's the thing. There's not that much trauma for the first little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
That's something I can guarantee you.
I can definitely try it. I'm okay with trying it. I think I want to give it a try. I want to really, because like I feel like I could definitely watch it really quickly. If I could watch 400 episodes of, what's it called?
Grey's Anatomy?
No. What? Well,
the White Woman's One Piece. That Carmen. That's the One Piece.
Forensic Files. Yes. If I can watch 400 episodes of Forensic Files in 3 months, I can definitely get through.
Yes, you can.
One Piece.
Listen, Carmen, they go everywhere. They go to sky islands. They go to, like, under the sea. They go to islands that are on the backs of animals. Like, they go everywhere. And it's magical.
Yes.
And, I'm going to say there's a little bit of trauma around episode 40, but you already know it. It's the Nami stuff that you already saw.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then the next trauma is, like, episode 250.
I want to kill that mouse guy.
230. Maybe 230.
Ring his fucking neck.
Yeah. And the thing is, that character matters so little. When I saw him, I was like, oh yeah, this guy. He doesn't matter. You never have to see him again. Oh, truly.
Magical. Okay. This is great. So I will give it a try.
We are on the cruise. And if you want, please message me whenever you get to something interesting. I am here to listen to all of your One Piece opinions. If okay. You're like, what the fuck's happening? You can talk. Yeah, okay. Text me anytime.
Okay. And now, in that vein, what do you recommend, Catherine, for this week?
What do I recommend for this week? I mean, other than what I just recommended.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I'm going to recommend, oh God, what am I going to recommend? I'm going to recommend one of my other top favorite animes of all time, which is called Haikyuu, and it is a volleyball anime. And I did see something
about it recently on Instagram. Oh, really? And I was like, what the hell is this?
Haikyuu is genuinely one of my favorite animes of all time. I've watched it multiple times. It's a beautiful story of like a volleyball team trying to make it to nationals. You know how much I don't give a fuck about sports, Carmen.
Yeah.
And I love this anime.
Yeah.
I love all the characters, and it's beautiful. And it's like if you actually, if from the first episode, you'll be like, oh my God, this is wonderful. And you know what's funny? I was rewatching a little bit of it. And now that I have One Piece brain, which is, I also, even though I've recommended it so hard, it is a cult and you do get a brain parasite. There's no way around it. One Piece is a brain parasite.
Yeah.
Watching other animes, I'm like, 24 episodes. It's like a day.
Yeah.
I just watched 1,100 episodes, okay? When I see an anime is like 24 episodes for the first season, 24 episodes for the last season, and then like blah, blah, blah. I think in total, Haikyuu is like maybe 50 episodes. We just get to Logue Town in One Piece. Okay? That's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Okay. It's like a breath of Dressrosa. None of this means anything to you, but for the One Piece people out there, they know that One Piece warps your sense of time, and you'll be like, this whole anime is 50 episodes. Walk in the park. Anyway.
Okay.
What would you recommend?
Okay. So I'm going to recommend, again, despite the fact that no one should have Disney Plus anymore, I am going to recommend X-Men 97.
I only got to episode 3 so far.
This show is one of the best written shows I have seen in the last little while. They do not, like, you know, they don't hold back.
It's paced so crazy quick, though.
Yeah.
Like, but 18 things happen in one episode.
Yes, 100%. But I just finished episode 6, and I was like, first of all, I watched the first 5 episodes in one go. Do not do that. It's very traumatizing. But as I watched it, its relevance to today's issues, like, I know we always talk about how, like, yeah, X-Men is supposed to be an allegory for, like, you know, oppression or whatever. But as, like, first of all, the showrunner or the director is Black, I think.
Oh, okay.
But also, I would not be surprised if this was written and created in a way to discuss some of the oppression that's happening right now. Because there is a whole story around genociding mutants, and then humans being like, no, you have to act peacefully, even if we're genociding you.
Politics of one of a, I can't, I have a problem, of X-Men.
And it's like so brutal, and like, I was not well after the 5th episode, and then the 6th episode, I also like was not well. But it was really funny because as I was learning, I was like, you guys are not subtle. You are not subtle in any way, shape, or form. So really well done. And I was talking to some of my friends about it. Some of my friends who like comics or who read the comics a little bit more. And they're like, no, this is great. Like, this is great. And these are also people who were like, when I told them that they were, that like, the X-Men were gay, they were like, no. And then they had it like a 5 seconds and were like, yeah, maybe. And now they're just like, it's very gay. It's very gay.
1,000,000,000% gay. Also, speaking of actual gayness, listen, I finished episode 3, and I said, is Wolverine fucking Morph? Is that what happened? Is that confirmed later in the show?
I hope so. I hope it is.
I was like, Like, okay, so for those, I don't want to spoil anything. I'm just going to say that one thing. But there's, like, lots of relationship stuff It's the X-Men. Most of what the X-Men is about is fucking each other's girlfriends. Like, that's what the X-Men is about. Other than racism and homophobia, it's that.
Yeah.
But I was like, is Wolverine...
You know?
I don't know. You know? There was a scene where... Where one Morph came into the bathroom while Wolverine was there and made a saucy comment
about
helping him reach the hard to reach spaces, and I said, you know, like the meme where it's like that dog with like the gay
symbol
above his head with a question mark. That was what I
That's
what I said. I became that dog.
Yeah. I highly recommend. I highly recommend.
Okay.
But for you, Catherine, I recommend The Bear.
Okay. You know what?
It's very well written.
Oh, and I recommend Bottoms.
Yes.
It's absurd. It's on Amazon Prime, actually.
Oh, it is? Okay. Mm. So I'll give it a watch.
It's also very gay. The plot of Bottoms is basically two girls who are, like, losers who want to have sex with, like, the hottest girls in school, and so they start a fight club.
That doesn't have Devery Jacobs.
No, not Devery Jacobs, I don't think.
No. What the fuck am I thinking of that? Anyways, it's fine. That's great. And so everyone, I hope you folks, just with caution, try out people with line cook energy.
And try out, with enthusiasm, One Piece. Get on board, people, because here's the thing. One Piece will be ending in the next couple of years. You will want to be on the cruise. You will want to be part of it. Genuinely, I think it'll be like a nuclear bomb whenever it finds... Like, people will explode. Because genuinely, even when I... Before I ever actually properly was into One Piece, whenever something crazy would happen to One Piece, I would hear about it.
Oh.
Like, what? Like, people would be like, oh my god, did you see this thing? And I was like, okay. So the internet will melt down completely.
Yeah.
Where One Piece ends, and you will want to be part of it.
That's fair. That makes sense.
It's so special. I sent Carmen the meme where it was like, when you see what you've been missing out on, you are going to choke. And it was about One Piece. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's how I feel.
That's very true. I mean, that's very true. All right.
Well, you can find us at I Kill a Spider for You, basically everywhere on the internet. Mm-hmm. And also you can find me. I do it every time when I point at myself as if this is a video podcast. You can with two thumbs for everybody's visual, like for your mind palace. Imagine me with two thumbs pointing to myself. You can find me at DCC Williams everywhere on the internet.
And Carmen. You can find me at Carmen_Maria416. So, you know, for all things death and dying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, get on the cruise, guys. Get on the cruise. And you know what? There are line cook energy men in One Piece. It all comes together.
This is great. Full circle.
Full circle. I'm going to play the One Piece theme as we fade out. We are.